Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened yesterday and where the hell we are today?
Well, we just got done reading Jeremiah chapter 41.
Sure as fuck did.
And in that chapter, Jeremiah was conspicuously missing.
He was absent, yes.
He was, yeah. But Gedaliah did end up getting murdered.
By?
Assassinated by Ishmael. Yeah. And Ishmael then proceeded to run back to the Ammonites and...
Well, I mean, he went on a murder spree first.
Yes. Sorry. No one actually knew for a few days. And then he went on a murder spree. Then he ran back to the Ammonites.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the guy that originally warned the Gedaliah,
mm-hmm.
he was Johanan. Yeah. He was trying to pursue them, but didn't catch them in time. And they ended up making it back. And then that was the end of, you know, the wonderful Israelite encampment.
What could have been, should have been.
Yeah, right. So they all, the remnants kind of took off towards Egypt. They're like, fuck this, we're out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, shit's going to go bad.
Yep.
So that was pretty much what happened in Jeremiah chapter 41. Oh, one more thing. The whole aspect of Jeremiah not being, like, why did he stay? He's a prophet. Why did he stay with them if shit was just going to go south? Like, what purpose did that serve? Where is this pushing the storyline forward other than, yep, they almost made it again, but then they didn't again.
Right.
Okay.
Well, this chapter has some interesting things in it, I think we'll see.
Okay. All right. So anyway, that was Jeremiah chapter 41.
Hold your questions till the end.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Which means that today we're getting into...
Jeremiah chapter 42.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
All right, we are jumping into Jeremiah chapter 42.
Okay.
And as usual with Jeremiah, I have a bit of a note before we hop into the chapter.
Okay.
This chapter is part of a larger narrative that consists of chapters 37 through 44.
Got it.
Okay, so we're almost coming up to the end of this story.
Got it.
Okay.
Yep.
So here we go. Jeremiah chapter 42. Now, all the captains of the forces, Johanan, the son of Kareah, Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So he was part of the remnant.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Just
yep.
Like, oh, by the by, Jeremiah was there too.
Right.
Like, even though we didn't mention him,
yeah.
he was there.
Right.
Okay, so they said to him, please let our petition be acceptable to you and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see.
If you believed in God, wouldn't you say our God?
Yes.
Not your God.
That is a note I was going to put out there, that note how they phrased it.
Yeah.
Yeah, pray to your God for us, won't you?
Well, I mean, if he's the only one, if he's claiming that he's the only one that can talk to this God,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine that back then they're like, well, it's your God. You're the one that's you're the one telling us he exists in this fashion.
Right.
And you're the one saying that he is this way. And obviously you've been right about a lot of things lately. So it's your God. We're going to, you know, it.
You would think that, but let's continue reading.
Okay.
All right. And I think that we'll find that, nope, it actually was just Jeremiah's God.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, they're like, would you mind praying to your God for us that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do? Okay.
Okay.
So they're like, hey, what do you think your God thinks about this? Ask him what we should do now.
Right. This still also holds true with my theory about him being a double agent.
Oh, yeah.
Because like if they're praying to his God, mm-hmm. what they really mean in code is, what do the Babylonians want us to do now?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Then Jeremiah said to them, I have heard, indeed, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. So well, he's like, it's your God too, asshole.
Right, right, right.
And they're like, is it though?
Right.
So they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not do according to everything which the Lord, your God, sends us by you. They're like, no.
It's still your God.
Yeah.
Right.
But we promise to obey your God.
Right.
Lord, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord, our God, I guess, to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord, our God.
Hmm.
So they're okay. Like,
so they're taking some ownership here.
Sure, sure, yeah. Sure okay. They are. And it happened after 10 days that the word, so he took 10 days to pray.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah.
Okay.
So he went away to pray and then 10 days later came back because it took that long for God, like God wasn't just at Jeremiah's beck and call.
Sounds to me like God really threw Jeremiah for a loop here. He's like, I thought we were just going to stay in Israel and like everything was going to be cool and then shit went south and now I don't know what to do. So I need to think on this.
I need to think on this is my opinion. And maybe it took him 10 days to get in touch with his people Babylon. Like,
they're running. He's got to figure out a way to talk
to them. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do now, guys.
Right.
So anyway, so he's like, yeah, I'm done praying. So then he called Johanan, the son of Korea, all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest. And he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him.
Mm-hmm.
If you will still remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought upon you.
Wait.
And in some translations, it says, I repent, in the Septuagint, as a matter of fact.
Huh.
And some of the other earliest translation, it says, for I repent
God concerning repents.
The disaster that I have brought upon you.
And, okay, but they're going to stay in Israel still?
I don't know. Let's see what they decide to do.
I'm a little confused now, because I thought that was, like we talked about it the last time, that was the true end of the occupation in Israel. So
let's hear what.
Okay. All right.
Jeremiah's not done talking.
Yeah.
The God is speaking.
All right.
Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord. For I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercy that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land.
Okay.
But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we'll go to the land of Egypt where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell. Then, hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and go to dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine of which you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die.
Mm.
So shall it be with all the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to dwell there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence.
So I'm guessing that they're going to choose Egypt, even though Jeremiah is telling them don't.
Right.
Because even though they said they would do whatever.
I think that they probably assumed, like, a lot of the apologists that were talking about this, their notes all were like, they were asking and lying, and they were, you know, hypocrites and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, you know what? I think that they saw two situations. Egypt looks great. Judah just got torn asunder. I think they were like, yeah, totally, we'll do whatever God tells us, because obviously he's going to tell us to go to Egypt. Duh.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
They were looking for, like, you know, prayer and things like that that they would do to appease this God to make him happy.
Right.
Not, like, going back into the fucking fray.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that they were hypocrites or liars. I don't think that they went into this they went into this with their heart already set. I don't think that. That is right. Necessary. I think that they went in with the understanding that the course of action that makes the best sense is obviously what God is going to choose. Well, they had no idea that Egypt was probably on its way to getting torn down as well.
I'm going to throw one more thing out here, too, because Jeremiah had told them that if they gave themselves over to the Babylonians initially, right, that they would be good and everything would be fine, right? But then this Israelite from some other land decides he wants vengeance on you know, Gedaliah. Mm-hmm. And so he fucks everything up, right? So it wasn't even like he was in cahoots. This other guy, Ishmael was in cahoots with the Ammonites. He wasn't even part of this group. He was just trying to take advantage of the situation and whatever, right?
Yeah.
But these Israelites that decided to stay, they were like,
okay, yeah, we're going to make a go of it.
Right.
Now.
Yeah. They were good with that. Mm-hmm. And so they were listening to Jeremiah, right? They turned themselves over to Babylon and they were like, okay, we're going to make a go of this. And it didn't work out.
Right.
Jeremiah's prophecy did not work out.
Right.
And then they're like running away from the situation because it's bad, right? Yeah. Things are going south.
We're like,
things,
dudes, we just got murdered. I'm not going back to murder land. Right.
And we didn't even catch the guy that murdered us all. Like, he's still over there. Like, right. What makes you think if we go back, things are going to be better? Because you told us things were going to be better the first time.
Yeah.
So, like, no, we're going to Egypt, but, like, how can we make your God happy with that in mind?
Or, you know, hey, we're going to Egypt, right, God? And then God's right. Like, no. And they're like, wait, what?
What's his hang up on Egypt anyway? It's not like they're any worse than Babylon, is it?
Because that's not their land. And because that's where God delivered them from.
No,
it's okay. A slap in God's little pride dick.
Yeah. You know. I guess that could be the case. Yeah.
His little hurt feelings.
Right.
You know, because okay. He's got a little pee-pee.
Right. I want to point out, though, that Jeremiah was basically not right.
Kind of, yeah.
In my opinion. I know I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. And there's lots of scholars that have better apologies than I do, so.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just saying they were looking on this remnant with frowny faces. I'm looking on them with my guys. They've been through war. This is the people that were actually just they were the poorest of the poor. Yeah. They were running the land, you
right,
know,
right.
And they're just trying to live. I don't think that they were evil or not evil. I think they were just trying to survive
right.
And making the best choices that were given to them at the time.
And now you're telling me that God's going to take this, the poorest of them, the worst of them, the most beat down of them, mm-hmm. and fuck them over again.
Right, exactly.
So, nice guy.
So God says, and none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I will bring upon them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. And you shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach.
It sounds like to me, though, that what really needed to happen was Babylon needed some slaves to run the land of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremiah was like, I told him I'd get him some slaves.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to scare him into that. But they're like, no, we're still going to Egypt.
Yeah. Like, we don't want to be slaves. If right. we're going to be slaves, we're going to go be slaves for Egypt.
We're going to choose. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to make the choice to go over here.
Like, from what I heard, it wasn't really that bad over in Egypt.
Right.
And yeah, we were slaves, but, you know, we had it not too bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't too shabby over there.
Right.
And, you know, they aren't, like, war-torn and you're not going to go without water and food.
Yeah.
So
Babylon's not going to go conquer them.
Right?
So.
Like, no thanks.
Right.
And you shall see this place no more, says God.
Okay. I mean, I think they probably already have an inkling of that, though.
Right? Like, yeah, no shit. You think? The Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for you were hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord your God says, so declare to us, and we will do it. And I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God or anything which he has sent you by me.
I'm now, sorry, but you took 10 days to figure this shit out, Jeremiah.
Yeah, where were you that whole
right?
time?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
I think you like, were...
I might think that you don't exactly know what you're talking about if it took you 10 days to get word back from God.
Well, it's not. Here's the thing. If you are a Bible-y God believer,
uh-huh.
then it wasn't that it took Jeremiah 10 days. It was that it took God 10 days because he had to prove that he's not at Jeremiah's beck and call. So he took his dear sweet time.
God's got like 5 people left at this point. So, I mean, what the fuck's he doing?
Well, I'm telling you what they would say. And, you know, it depends. Like, are we in canon or aren't we? In canon, it took God 10 days, not Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, outside of canon, me and you reading this as it is on the page, Jeremiah took 10 days.
Right. It sounds like he took a hike back to the fucking, you know, front lines of the other people.
To meet his handler.
Yeah.
Something.
Right.
Yeah. So, now therefore, know certainly, this is Jeremiah speaking, that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go to dwell.
Mm.
The end.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm not excited about this. I mean, my feeling, and I might be wrong about this, but my feeling is that we only have, let's see, this is chapter 42, so we only have 2 more chapters left
of this little bit,
right? My feeling is that we're not going to see God take his actual vengeance on these people because there's not enough time, maybe.
But
I could be wrong about that, too.
There's still more chapters of Jeremiah after this narrative ends.
True.
So, who knows?
I don't know. That is, it still, to me, sounds like Jeremiah is a fucking spy.
Yeah.
Like, it still sounds like he's trying to coerce these people into being slaves for Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing here that makes me feel like this is a prophecy of any type. It just feels like he is on Babylon's side and trying to coerce these people to, you know, easily join Babylon to become slaves or whatever.
And that would answer our question last time, which was, why did Jeremiah turn down going back to Babylon where he would be treated well, rather than what he chose was to stay in this war-torn land? I think he was thinking he was going to be a big fish in a little pond.
Sure.
And that would serve him better than going, yes, he would be well-treated, but he'd be a small fish in a big pond.
Right.
And I think that he stayed behind because he was like, I can get something out of this.
He felt he'd have influence and he'd have, you know, things he could
leadership position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I will be the prophet of Jerusalem, you know?
And honestly, I feel like he was kind of left out of the last chapter, chapter 41,
mm-hmm.
because shit went wrong, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is where his prophecy didn't hold true. They did the thing that they asked,
mm-hmm.
that God asked, right? They gave themselves over to the Babylonians, and yet stuff still went south.
And so they were like, let's just not put him in this chapter, so everybody kind of forgets that happened.
Yeah. So I am forever going to believe that Jeremiah is just a double agent spy type person for Babylon.
Total double agent.
That is where I'm at with this whole thing.
Yep. Not necessarily a bad guy, but sure, it's a good guy.
And I've said this before, like, you know, there's political and military things that happened all the time back in ancient times that were dangerous to people. And, like, they could just as easily have killed them all, right? But it's... He if he's working to get his people to give themselves up, he may be doing so because he thinks that the best thing for them is to not get killed, right? And like, he's like, if you don't do this, you're all gonna fucking die,
right?
So he could be doing this out of mercy for his own people, but at the same time, he's still doing it,
right?
And he's trying to pretend like he's not. He's trying to pretend like this is God,
mm-hmm.
and I don't feel like that's the case. I feel like that's the way he's writing it, so that it has some merit to it, to the people that he's talking to,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that's what's actually going on.
What I find interesting too is that all of this is supposed to have been written by Baruch.
Yeah.
And we've not had word one mention of him.
Well,
in the last several chapters,
what we read, what you told us early on was that it was written by either Jeremiah or Baruch. So there was,
but then he told Baruch, write this shit down.
That was during a certain section, yeah, but mm-hmm. it's possible that Baruch maybe went on to Babylon or something else. Like, I mean...
No, I'm pretty sure he's still there.
Okay, all right.
I'm pretty sure. Like, I haven't read ahead or anything, but from what I understand, they were, like, real tight the whole time.
Okay,
all right. So, I just find it interesting that he's supposed to be at least editing these words, if not writing them himself.
Sure.
And we're not hearing about him. So, I wonder if he is maybe... Jeremiah's footman, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm going to hide out in this tent for 10 days. You go run the fuck over to
Babylon,
our handler,
right? Yeah.
And find out what they want, because these folks are about to go to Egypt and I need to try to sway them not to.
Right.
If that's what Babylon wants, I don't know. Run.
Yeah. No, that's the way I view most of these religious prophets back then, as they were political actors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it comes across, even. Like,
yeah.
if you read it from that point of view, you can definitely take that from this.
Sure.
And I enjoy that idea mm-hmm. way more than the idea that there's a God speaking to these fuckers.
Yeah.
So, because that makes sense. That actually makes sense.
Right.
You know, so that's why I enjoy it, I think.
Yeah.
But... anyway, that was Jeremiah chapter 42.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that we'll be back tomorrow with...
Jeremiah chapter 43.
All right, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.